So we're in Perek Tet of the book of Yehoshua. Vayichishmoa kol ha-melachim asher be'evra yerden baharu ba-shefela u'kol chofayam ha-gadol el mul ha-lebanon ha-chiti va-emuri va-kena'ani ha-perizi ha-chivi va-ibusi. It says all the Yegoyim, the nations that were living in Kena'an, so they heard about the intrusion of Yehoshua and his army into Eretz Kena'an. So they heard about it. So they all united together. Pe'ehad, which means, one united group. That's one of the things that unites the goyim, anti-Semitism, common enemy. Although they themselves don't get along with each other, but in the UN they can always vote together because the only thing they agree on is that they hate Israel. So at least they get pe'ehad, one unanimous vote. The Yoshve Giv'on Shamu et Asher Asa Yehoshua liricho v'la'ai. They were the people of Giv'on. And the people of Giv'on, they heard what Yehoshua did to Yericho and Ai. So he's two for two. Yericho, the walls came down. Ai, they destroyed them in a miraculous war. So the Giv'onim, who were from Eretz Kena'an, they heard what happened, they got scared. Vayasu gam hema be'orma. So they also made a trickery. Orma is a cleverness, trickery. What did they do? Vayelechu vayitztayaru. They went and they disguised themselves. You understand what's going on over here? If you come from Eretz Kena'an, the law is we got to wipe you out. So they didn't want to get wiped out. So what they did is they put on a costume to make believe that they are somebody that they are not. And then Yehoshua will think that these people are from foreign strain, far land, far off land, and he'll make a deal with them. So this is going to be a big scandal that's going to take place over here. And Yehoshua is going to get fooled by these people. And he's going to fall for it. So it worked. Vayikru sakim balim lahamoreim. They took old sackcloth that was balim. They were starting to become worn out, worn sack. So that's part of the rules. Looks like they came from 1,000 miles away. Venodot yayin balim. They took these old jugs of wine. Those leather pouches that they drink the wine in. A flask. A leather flask. Umubukaim. Umsurarim. So they were trying to portray the image as if they were traveling for many days. So they made everything worn out and cracked. And so it looks like they're all from far off place. Un'alot balot. And they wore their old shoes, the worn out shoes. Umtula'ot. With patches. They did a good job. Beragleim. Uslamot. Balot alehem. Uslamot is the dresses, the clothes. The clothes were all torn and ripped. And they brought with them moldy bread. As if, from the road, or like how far we were traveling, and then the bread got all dots on it. So they get to Yehoshua, who's in Gilgal. So they tell the people there, Me'eres lechoka banu. We came from a far off land. Ve'alta kirtu lanu brit. You know, make for us a covenant. Vayomer ish Yisrael el achivi. So the ish Yisrael, so they say to this nation here, ulai bekirbi ata yoshev ve'kechrot lecha berit. Maybe you're a local. And if you're a local, then we can't make a covenant with you. How do we know that you're from Fod? Show us your ID. So he says, ויאמרו אל יהושע עבדיך אנחנו ויאמר אליהם יהושע מי אתם ומאין תבואו. So they come along and they say, where are your servants? The Malbim says, רוצה לומר אליך לבד באנו לכרות ברית ביניך ובין מלך ארצנו וברית כזה בין המלכים יצור גם בארץ רחוקה. We want to make an alliance between our two countries. What do you need an alliance for? If you come from far, what do you care to make an alliance? Come from far, so what do you need to make peace with us for? You don't usually, people who want need peace are either live on the border or you live amongst them. But if you know, China and America only need a peace treaty because there's nuclear weapons. If there's no nuclear weapons, we don't care what the opinion. We trade with them. But without trade and without the nuclear weapon, what do you care about China? The distance, we don't need peace. They can't reach us, we can't reach them. So imagine you have a guy come from China, oh, begging, oh, we've got to make peace. Well, what do you become suspicious from them. Yeah. What are you up to? What do you care? So Yeshua right away says, what do you want peace for? So they have to come along and say, no, it means a general peace. You know, maybe one day our countries will make an alliance together, something will be, nothing imminent. ויאמרו אליו, מארץ רחוקה מאוד, not stop, מארץ רחוקה מאוד, באו עבדיך לשם השם אלוהיך, כי שמענו שמעו ואת כל השיר עשה, we heard everything that happened to Mitzrayim, and we heard all the miracles that you guys did, and they're a bunch of liars, these guys. ואת כל השיר עשה לשני מלכי האמורי, אשר בערב הידים, we heard the Sihon and Og, ויאמרו אלינו, זה כננו, וכל יושבי ארצנו לאמור. This is an amazing, to show you the shayim. A lot of times the goyim, they take advantage of the good morality of the Jewish person. They know the Jew has, good values. So they talk to those values. So they know a Jew is Rahman. So if you cry poverty to a Jew, you know, the odds are that you're going to get him to give you something. Because Jewish people are rahmanim, gumle hasadim. One thing the Jewish people also do is they respect their elders. Goyim don't have that same respect to the elders that we have. To us, zekenecha ve'yomru lach. You know, we go to the elders for advice, to stand up for the elders. So they came along and they want to show us, you know, ויאמרו אלינו, they tell the Jewish people, זקננו וכל יושבי ארצנו לאמור. We were told by our elders to do this, to come to you and make peace. Now that talks to the Jew. You know, when you tell a Jew, my grandfather said, we understand what a grandfather is. You tell a goy, grandfather's an old man, senile guy, you know, so who cares? But you talk to the Jewish people, say, you know, our grandparents told us to come here. Wow, you have grandparents? You listen to your grandparents? It's a Jewish value. So, ויאמרו אלינו, זקננו, וכל יושבי ארצנו לאמור, קחו בידכם סעדה לדרך. They told us to take some food for the road. הלכו לקראתם and go to the Jews. ואמרתם עליהם, עבדיכם אנחנו. When you get there, tell them we want to be your servants, meaning we want to make peace. ועתה כתבו לנו ברית, we're not coming in war. Coming as subservient. We want to make peace. זה לחמנו. You see the bread? חם הצטיידנו אותו, מבטנו ביום סתנו ללכת. When we put it in our bags, it was hot. It's hot bread. Now look at it. Now it's all moldy. So they're showing them the props. It's an amazing scam that's going to take place over at Rabotai. There's a major scam alert at Rabotai that's in effect in the five boroughs. Ve'ele nodot yayin asher medlenu hadashim. You see these flasks of wine? When we left, they were brand new. V'inet baka'u. Look at that, from the heat and the sun, it cracked. The leather's cracking already. Ve'ele salmotenu un'alenu. Look at our shirts. Look at our shoes. Balu. They're worn out. Merov ha'derech me'od. All right, Rabotai. The question is, are they going to believe it? So the pasuk says, "Vayikuha anashim etzedam." Etzedam over here means "Nashon sad," the trap. They fell into the trap. They got fooled. It was a very, very good, scheme. Problem that they made over here, of course, is going to be v'pi Hashem lo sha'alu. They didn't take it to God. If they would have taken this to God and asked God what they should do, God would have told them, don't fall for it. They're scam artists, these people. They're living next door to you. They're lying. They didn't come from a far off land. It's all a fake. But again, that's what happens when you don't ask. When you think you know better, you don't ask, so you make mistakes. They had, they could have asked. In those days, they knew how to ask God. They could have gotten the question to God, but they didn't ask. So I was telling it here to teach you that that's what happens when you don't take advice. Vayas lehem Yehoshua shalom. Yehoshua makes peace. Vayichrot lehem berit lahayotam. And he makes a covenant to keep them alive. Vayishavi'u lehem nesia ha'eda. And it's done with a shivu'ah. A public shivu'ah. We have a problem, man. Now that's it. It's there's nothing stronger than the Shivu'ah. You understand over here? They made a Shivu'ah. That's on God's name. I swear to God, we're not gonna kill you. We're gonna leave you alive. Vayimik says Shilosh Yamim. 3 days later. After they made the covenant, they found out that really the Givonim were their next door neighbors. One zip code over. Okay, no problem. Very easy. You're an egg. The deal was made on a false pretense. Call the lawyers, lawyer yourself up. What are my rights? You made a guarantee to these people. They lied to us. Showed them the proof. Showed them the pictures that they came from close. It's a slam dunk in the court of law. No judge is going to give any credence to this deal when it was done on all false pretenses. So, very easy to get out of this one, Rabotai. So they went to the areas of Givon, and the next pasuk should say that they killed them like they're supposed to, because if they're part of the seven nations, so then you have to kill them. Understand? Velo hikum b'nei Yisrael. They didn't touch them. Why? Ki nishbi'u lahem nisiya ha'edah b'ashem elokei Yisrael. Because they made a swear. May you see the concept that the Malbim writes. Ve'lo hikum, rotzi lomar Yisrael ba'u el areihem v'ratzu lehorgam. They wanted to kill them. She'al sh'lo kivlu alem mas v'avodah peru she'em muzarim alem b'lav lo t'chayei kol neshama. The obligation, you have to kill them. Lo t'chayei kol neshama. You're not allowed to keep any survivors of the seven nations. The Shavuot to the Seim in a Hala. The Shavuot is not Hal. Mishagam Shaita Betaut. It was a false pretense, mistake. Vaitale Batem Mitzvah Torah. B'chol Zeh, even so, Lo Hikum. You know why? Mepne Shiyeh Hilul Hashem. Unbelievable. The Goyim will come along and say, the Jews, they don't keep their word. They don't keep their word. You know, over the course of time, everybody forgets the details of what happened. All you remember is, they swore, they did, and they reneged the next day. 3 days later, they reneged. Hey, we reneged. Why would you renege? We reneged because you fooled us, you tricked us. Who's making the Hodesh? They were worried what the people are going to say. It's going to come out bad press for the Jewish people, that the Jewish people swear on God's name, and God's name is cheap. They don't care what... Look at this here. They're in a mess. They're buying into an eternal mess now. Now they're stuck with these Rishayim. Very easy. Get rid of them. Kill them, and it's over. Because they're worried about Hilul Hashem. And of course, the Kal Vachomer is that if they're worried about keeping their word when they don't have to keep their word, so could you imagine when you have to keep your word? How important is it to keep your word? That is what we just said? There's a priceless lesson here. Over here, every lawyer will tell them you're not bound, you're not bound, the law is on your side, and you're good, nobody can bother you. They're going to say, we said it. Today what happens in business, the guy said it, he signed it, he stamped it and all that, and then he tells the guy, I'm not keeping it. And the lawyer says, but you're wrong, you have to keep it. I'm like, what are you going to do to me? Kill me. What are you going to do to me? Hold me. Put me in jail. You see what goes on? You see, look at the difference. For a few dollars, the guy's word's cheap. Now, granted, he didn't say make a shivua, but so what? You sign a paper. That's why you have to think 1,000 times before you sign a paper. Can I live up to these principles? Well, anyway, that's what happened over here. Vayilonu kol ha'ida al ha'nesi'im. So they complain. They say, what are you now? You're stuck. Why come you didn't break the deal? Vayomru kol ha'nesi'im et kol ha'ida. Anachnu nishbarnu lahem b'Hashem Elohei Yisrael. So what should we do? We made a swear. Ve'atal lo nuchal lingo abahem. Finished. We can't touch them. Unbelievable. A little lesson in honesty. Zot na'aseh lahem v'ahayeh otam. V'lo ha'inu kitzip al ha'shavu'ah. We don't want the shivua to cause, you know, to become a, you know, a liability to us. He turns them into wood choppers. You know, we didn't say we're going to give them, a mahogany desk and make them chairman of the board of directors of, whatever it is. We're not going to kill you, but we're not going to give you a high-paying job. You become water carriers, Gunga Din, and the wood choppers. The lowest job. Remember Gunga Din, Sam? Ve'ikra lem Yoshua yedvei lem lemor. Yoshua comes to them and says, Lama rimitem otanu? You tricked us. Ve'daber alem. It's a strong language. He was angry. Rechokim anachnu mekim ovatim kerben Yoshua. You were right next to us. Ve'ata arurim atem. Now, he didn't say he's not going to curse them. That wasn't a swear. They're not going to curse you. I'm going to curse you. He cursed them. They deserve to be cursed. That's not part of the Shiva. He didn't say we're going to be cordial to you. We're going to leave you alive. But you'll be cursed. There's going to be wood choppers and water carriers for the rest of your lives. Vayanu et Yoshua, they say, ki hugedu gad abadecha. We were scared. We heard that Moshe Rabbeinu said that anybody is in the seventh the nation, you got to kill them. Ulashmid et kol Yisrael v'zechem v'nira me'od. We were so worried. V'nasid et v'nasid, we had no choice. We had no choice, they say. The question is, are they right? Is that the halacha? Are they right what they did? Were we bound to kill them? So were they forced to do this? Was this the only way, that the method that they could have got saved? It sounds like that if it wasn't for this ruse, Yeshua was going to kill them. So it sounds like that, listen, they had no choice. The rule is, you got to kill the seven nations. And Yeshua said, listen, we would kill you if it wasn't for the Shivua that we made. Sounds like you're on the list. So therefore, yeah, you're on the list, you got to die. But the scam saved their lives because they made the Shivua. Is that the case? What is the law? That is the law, that anybody of the seven nations, we had to come in and just kill. Lo da'ayah kon ha'shama. That's machloket. Okay, Baruch Baruch. Do not elaborate, David. It's clear enough to all our members what you said. Maimonides. We have to open up Maimonides. In Ilchot Melachim Perek Vav. You want to learn Rambam? We'll learn Rambam together. Ilchot Melachim. We don't learn Ilchot Melachim that often, but we have an opportunity. Let's take advantage. En osim milchama im adam ba'olam. You don't fight, or you don't go to war with anybody. Ad shekorim lo leshalom. Until you try to make peace first. En osim milchama im adam ba'olam. You always have to first make peace. The Mefarshim say, even your mother-in-law. No, because you might think not like that. You might think that is always an exception. They just got to go directly to war. There's no time for shalom. They argue. That's the mahlokah that David was talking about. If you want peace, prepare for war. He's saying over here that the prerequisite to war is peace. He's saying something different. Now the Hadush of the Rambam is Ehad Milchemet Tareshut Ve'ehad Milchemet Mitzvah. That means even Milchemet Mitzvah is Amalek or fighting the seven nations. That's called Milchemet Mitzvah. There's Milchemet Reshut where you're just fighting to expand the borders. That's a voluntary war. But there's Milchemet Mitzvah where you're fighting to, because you have to fight. Doesn't matter. Shene'emar ki tekra v'l'id le'ilachem aleha v'karata elea l'shalom. Imishlimu, if they accept the peace covenant, v'kibilu sheva mitzvot shenitztavu b'nei Noach aleim, and they accept upon themselves the seven Noachide laws, en horgim mehem neshama. You don't touch them. Varehem lamas. Lamas means they become your servants. Shene'emar yulecha lamas v'baducha. Very good. Va'avdut sheyikavlu, they have to accept avdut, sheyu nibzim v'shefelim lamata. They're on the bottom of the rung. Ve'lo yarimu rosh b'Yisrael. They cannot lift a head up. Ela yu kibushim ta'at yadam, ve'lo yitmanu al Yisrael shum davar. You don't appoint them to anything. Zero appointments. You don't give them any job. The mayor, this, the nothing. Slaves. They're lucky to be alive. And they have to be willing to work for the government, bigufam u'mamonam, with their body and their money. Kegon binyan ha'chomot, make them builders. Let them build the city walls. V'hazuka mitzudot binyan ha'armonam, let them build the palace. You understand what's going on over there, Rabotai? Then the Rambam writes, "Ve'asur l'shaker bebritam ulchazev lahem achal sheishlimu v'kibluh sheva mitzvot." Once they accept the seven mitzvot, you can't. You have to keep your word. Ve'im lo eshlimu. Let's say they were not mashlim. They didn't accept the shalom. You sent an olive branch, and they didn't accept it. ולא קיבלו שבע מצוות.
Osim imahem elhama behorgim kol azekharim agedolim. Finish. You go to war, you kill all the adults, male adults.
Again, unless you come from the University of Miami, where they tell you, no, that's not right. That's not right. These are human beings. These are people who also have a right to live over here. Just, this is an old law from the Torah, which was prejudice. Now today, all men are created equal. Even we changed the word men, because the woman got upset. So all persons are created equal. So you're right. I don't know how they deal with this Rambam. But outside of the University of Miami, Rabotai, Rambam says you have to kill all the males, adults. Ubozezim kol mamonam, and you pillage all their money. Vetapam. Ve'en orgim isha ve'lo katan. I leave the kids and the kids and the woman you leave alive.
That's
all talking on the voluntary war.
On the seven nations and Amalek shelo hishlimu en manihim mehem neshama.
Lo tehaye kol neshama. Yeah, what's going on over Rabotai? Finished. No tolerance at all to the seven nations and Amalek.
How do we know we're talking about over here when it says Lo techaye kol neshama,
that it means after they didn't accept peace? I don't know. When I read the pasuk, it says Lo techaye kol neshama, period. It doesn't say unless they accepted peace.
Shneimar lo hayta ir asher hishlima et Yisrael.
The pasuk says there was no city that made peace with the Jewish people, no nation,
bilti achivi yoshve Giv'on,
except for the Giv'onim.
Et hakol lakhu b'melchama ki met Hashem hayita lechazek et libam lekrat ha'melchama et Yisrael leman acharimam.
The pasuk writes that it was from God. Implied that what? That if they made shalom with Israel, they would have got saved. But there was nobody that made shalom. And since nobody made shalom, so therefore they had a right to kill them. And it was min hashamayim, because we don't want to live with these people. So God made it that they didn't make shalom with us, and we were able to kill them.
So hold it,
Rabotai. So why did the Givonim have to make this ruse then? The Givonim could have came along and said, listen, we come in peace. They should have came with a white flag. Come with a white flag and an olive branch. And finish with peace. And the law is we have to accept them if they come in peace. And we accept upon ourselves Shiva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and whatever they have to accept upon themselves as well. So instead of the whole costume party, leave the Purim play. Come as yourselves. We come from this zip code. We came from down the block, and we're not looking to fight with you. Shalom, shalom. The rachok v'lekarov amanashim u'fativ.
What's the problem here, Rabotai?
Unless you say they didn't know that law, they didn't know the law. Well, they knew. They only knew part of the law. They knew the law that says that everybody's got to get killed. That part they heard. They heard what Sihon happened in Og, and they heard all the other stories. So Rambam continues, Shelosha ketavim shalach Yoshua ad sholech al ha'aretz. Yoshua ben Nun sent three letters before they conquered the land of Israel. He sent three telegrams to the Holy Land. This is before he came into Eretz Yisrael. He sent three letters. What are the three letters?
Harishon shalach lahem, mi shirotze levroach yivrach.
Whoever wants to run, you could run now. If you run away now, we're not going to chase you. Leave the land. So he gave them like a 10-second warning, 2-minute warning. He gave them a reprieve. You want to run? You can run now. But if you don't run now, forever hold your peace. You know,
Be careful. The second letter, v'shalach mi shirotze lehashlim yashlim. One wants to stay and make peace, meaning and accept the seven mitzvot b'nei Noah, and that old story. Here's the application. The third letter, it's the King David Hotel. We need 50 rooms. You know, we're coming with v'shalach mi shirotze lehasot milchama yaaseh. And whoever wants to make war, Baruch Abba. Those are the three letters that were sent out to the Kahal. You're following this? What a Rambam over here. So then he says, hold it, Rabotai, hold it. So that means the Givonim got the letter. That's the Haimi, Isaac Baruch. You're getting the point there. They got the letter. The choices are run for your life, make peace, or go to war. So what? Save the costume. Save the money on the costumes. Just check off peace. Hand in the questionnaire, and you're saved. Im ken, the Rambam says, mipnei mahe erimu yoshvei Givon. That's Rambam's question. Without learning this Rambam Rabotai, you can't get the story. This is, you have to put in your Navi books, ayen, shoftim, helchot melachim, halakha alef tovav. לפי ששלח להם בכלל ולא קיבלו. Originally they sent back, we'll go to war. They answered wrong. Understand? They took the third option. And then all of a sudden, as it was getting closer, and they heard the tanks rolling in, so they had a change of heart. ולא ידעו משפט ישראל. They didn't know the Jewish law. ודמו שאין פותחים להם לשלום. They didn't know that they get one more chance. That Yeshua was going to ask him again. They thought, they answered, no, that's it. We signed the paper, no, we're out. They didn't know the law that says that when Yeshua is going to come in, he's going to give them another chance. Shalom or not? They said, we answered no already. So now what? Plan two, get out the costumes. You understand what happened over here?
Absolutely.
They thought that you get one strike, one you're out. ולמה כאשר דבר הנשיאים וראו שראוי להכותם לפי חרב לולא השבועה? If it wasn't for the שבועה, they were going to kill them. Why? מפני שקראת להם ברית, והרי הוא אומר לא תקרות להם ברית, אלא היה דינם שהיה למס ועבדים. והואילו בטעות נשבעו, it was a false pretense, בדין היה שיהרגום. על שטעום, לולא חילול השם. Rambam's language. If it wasn't for the חילול השם that they were worried about, that a Jew not going to keep his word. Now I once invited me to a dinner for Israeli bonds. I don't know if people buy Israeli bonds anymore. It used to be a big thing, Israeli bonds. You have some? Hold on to them. It's not stupid. Hold on to them. So the guy came to me from the bonds, and I tell him, what's the default rate? He said, we're Israelis. We're Jewish. A Jew can't default on a bond. You can't. You cannot. What about, that's the business. You know, there's AAA, then there's junk bonds. We have this Israeli star on the bond. A Jew guarantees. We know it's not gay. You can't guarantee. It's a bond. It goes up and down. Olivia Yored Dimbo. Korban Olivia Yored. Nonetheless, he says, a Jew cannot default. We gave a word to our customers that in 30 years the bond will be this amount of money. We'll figure it out. So that's the first Israeli bond was this over here. The bond that Yeshua made with the Givonim. He sold them Israeli bonds. Now they wanted to default on the bond, and they had every right to default, but Rambam says, Luleh Hilul Hashem. If it wasn't for the Hilul Hashem, big lesson, Abotai. I don't think our members are appreciating the lesson of it. Hilul Hashem on you, you're 100% right. Don't be right. Just don't make Hilul Hashem.
It's a huge item.
So you have to always make the calculation. After you write, then you say, should I still pursue it even though I'm right? What's going to be the tutsaot? So that's the first thing over here. So that at least clarifies that. Now, the next thing over here is what's the matter, David? What's the matter, David? Huh?
I can't hear what he's saying.
Oh, yeah, you're reviewing the port. Okay, no problem. So now the Mefarshim come along over here and say, that he told them, whoever wants to leave and run for your lives, you can run for your lives. So the question is, did anybody take him up on that offer? Did anybody accept that? So the Radak brings down from the Midrash that actually the Kana'ani people took up the offer. Kana'ani, that's one of the seven. Kana'ani, Hitti, Amori. So the Kana'ani, they said, okay, we're out. They left. They ran. They ran. They said, you know what? We don't want peace and we don't want to convert, but we don't want to fight these guys either. So we'll take the option to skedoo. So they skedaddled. They left. So comes the Radak and writes, Mipnei ze zachal yikare le'eretz Yisrael eretz Kena'an al shemo. Yer Hadush? Why do you call it Eretz Kena'an? There's seven nations there. The seven nations, because they opted out. It says okay. It says zechut for them. It says zechut for them. You didn't fight Klal Yisrael. You didn't cheat us either, like the Givonim. You're honest. He said, listen, I don't want to be Jewish. I'm not interested in keeping, you know, the laws with living with the Jews. Hey, we were here first. Technically, they could fight. I'm not going to fight them either. We trust that the God is with the Jewish people. We'll leave. And the Midrash writes that God rewarded the Kanani people, Vizakale Eres Tova, Shehi Afriki, Africa. That's not Kanani, but they ended up getting Eres Kanan. They ended up getting Africa. It's Africa, that continent called Africa.
Wow.
So that's a great continent for them. It just says Benno, he'll tell you.
Yeah, they grow a lot of tobacco.
We're not getting into the personal business of people. But Africa is a, you know, blessed place.
Yeah.
Look at that.
The place is blessed, the people, though.
Diamonds also.
People, another story.
Diamonds also.
Now we know why.
Canaan was cursed, but over here we're talking about the blessing of Canaan.
Yeah.
That means the continent of Africa is the reward of Canaan for
not interfering.
We're not bothering anybody. We'll leave. Made it easy for us. By the way, from here you see Ishtabash Rakabar who he rewards. And he rewards very generously. It's a great reward. You get a continent? Europeans didn't get that reward. But the Canaanite did something correct. So the Baalei Musar point that out. Hey, listen, by the way. You should understand this. This is a very important yesod that we're going to say now. That means they didn't accept seven mitzvot b'nei Noah. That means they're still worshipping Avodah Zarah. But Borei Olam says, you're right, with all that, they still deserve a reward for doing something right. Borei Olam measures the... If we're the judge, we're strict. We'd say, wait a minute, they left. They left with their Buddhas in their pocket.
Yeah.
Where they left? They leave with black hats and peot. They left as of the Avodah Zarah.
They were scared. That's what they
left. They left, and they didn't accept the seven mitzvot b'nei Noah. Elliot, they're not following what I'm telling you. They didn't accept the seven mitzvot.
They were told, so they should have gotten it.
That's what I would say and you would say. But the answer is that Borei Olam said, listen, they could have been worse. They could have been the guys that stayed back and fought. So in the merit that they made it easier for Klal Yisrael, they didn't make us burden ourselves to fight them, and they walked away peacefully, you get reward for that. Look at the reward they get. It's a tremendous musar. I'll tell you what the musar is for us. The musar for us is there's two types of people that make averot. There's two types of people that make averot. One person makes an avera, and after he makes the avera, he feels bad, you know, he feels guilty. He can't control himself. He feels, he has a guilty conscience, we'll call it. No, he doesn't have to go like that. Inside of him, inside, he has a guilty conscience. He feels bad that he did the avera. And there's another guy that does an avera, brazen. So the student of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would say, that's Rabbi Itzel Petelberger. He would say, how are you spelling Petelberger? I'd like to know that because I have a hard time saying it, let alone spelling it. But
P-E-T-A-L-B-E-R-G-O.
Okay, there you go. Petelberger. Okay, you won the spelling bee, Elliot. That's it. You won the spelling bee. Petelberger.
Sounds like an
advertisement. Okay, well, nobody else was out of spell it, so you win by default.
He doesn't sound smart, I think.
No, he was not. So Rav Itzel Petelberger said, it's Isaac Blazer. That was his name. He said, he was from St. Petersburg. So he said, amazing Hadush. He said, Borei Olam writes in the books, avera with a guilty conscience, avera without a guilty conscience. And it makes a difference. I mean, in the book that they write the avera, they write your attitude that you have. So if the guy, avera with a sigh, they put the sigh, sighed at least. So that already discounts the avera. And if a guy does an avera and he doesn't sigh, so it's noted. In the heavens it's noted. Understand what we're saying over here?
Yeah.
So the rabbi called Binah La'itim, he quotes a chapter in the Tehillim, Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yud. Adonai negdecha kol ta'avati. God, in front of you is all my lusts. You know all my weaknesses. Ve'anhati memecha lo nistara. But you also see my anaha. You see my moan, my groan from the sin. You see that also. That's a big item. It's a big item, Rabotai. So the guilt of the sin it discounts the sin automatically. It's not the same. It's not the same madriga. So you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though the Kanani people were bad, they were worshiping Avodah Zarah, but they had a little conscience. They had. They ran away. Oh, it's something. So that's something gives them Africa. It's not bad. For a guilty guy to get Africa as a continent, not bad. So you can imagine when a person makes an avera, Borei Olam notices that there's a petah over here, something good in the avera. It's not all bad. The angel that's created from sin is never a perfect angel. Because the sin is never perfect. It usually has a... If a guy's a normal guy, he feels guilty. He has a certain... anaha. The famous the famous derash, the halakha that the Rishonim talk about. What's the law? Everybody over here is over 17. Judge, how old are you? Over 17. You heard this in Miami, I'm sure. Yes, it's not so. Miami, they talk about this for 12 years.
About 14.
Yeah. So what happens is, that's part of the tikkun. I'm getting it out of your guts, by the way. Don't want extracting. It's like an exorcism. So now, what happens is like this. What's the law if a person commits adultery? Ish and ish. Kill him. 100%. What's the death? No. Death by strangulation. Panic. Okay, that's not a good thing. They take a handkerchief. Death by asphyxiation. So for the little hana'ah that he had, he's dead. That's a married lady. You have a man that's married for 20 years. All of a sudden, guy seduces his wife. Ish et ish. They catch the guy. Two witnesses. Henik. Baruch Haba'im. What's the law if you have a girl that's engaged? You have a girl that's engaged and she commits adultery, an engaged girl. Now you catch the guy. What's the punishment? Sikila. Now engaged, I don't mean engaged, give an engagement ring, will you marry me? Not one of those. Engaged meaning kiddushin was done. But you didn't consummate it in nisu'in. Stage one, which is kiddushin. They didn't consummate. Now this makes sense. How can you tell me an engaged girl is sikila, here and married for 20 years, four kids. That's less? You understand the question?
Yeah.
How can it be? This Torah law, Torah is justice. You know what the Rishonim answer? The Rishonim answer something incredible. They say, because you're right. Exactly the Pasuk. The Pasuk is, Adonai nigdecha kol ta'avati. God sees that both these perpetrators have ta'ava. But ve'anhati mimecha lo nistara. God sees the anaha. What? When the guy is committing adultery with a married lady, he's doing it. But what is he doing the whole time? He's looking, maybe the guy's going to come now. If the guy shows up, so the guy does the avera, but in his mind, he has a little apprehension that the husband's going to show up. If the husband shows up, he's dead. So he does the avera, but he keeps on looking out the window. He hears a car, he gets nervous. You understand what I'm telling you? So he does the avera, but there's anaha, there's uneasiness. Right. Understand? There's uneasiness. So God factors that uneasiness. Wow. Where is the guy? The girl's engaged. You don't care. Let the guy show up because he gave her a ring. big deal. They're not married. They have no kids. They have no nothing. But the guy has no compunction. He'll answer the guy. What? Because you gave her a ring? Oh, I got a bird. You didn't consummate. You didn't consummate. He does it with more of a gusto. So therefore, more gusto is a bigger sin, bigger punishment. So that's what it says. V'anhati negdecha. God looks at the sin with the attitude. That calculation is factored in. Huh?
5 and 4.
Another perfect example. Very good. Many examples of this where the sin is calculated based on your feelings of the sin. If a guy does a sin, you know, with... Like you said, all the gusts are, and he's in trouble. On the high holidays, we say, Avinu Malkenu, Hatanu Lefanecha Rechaim Alenu. Seemingly, it doesn't fit the God Almighty. We have sinned in front of you. Have mercy on us.
I should have mercy on you because you sinned? If you told me, Abinu Malkeinu lo chatanu lefanecha, rachem aleinu. But how do we come in the same breath, tok kedei dibur, and we say, Abinu Malkeinu chatanu lefanecha, rachem aleinu? The explanation is, we're saying, Borei Olam, when we were chatanu, we still remember that we were lefanecha, and that made us feel uneasy. Therefore, rachem aleinu, that we still remember that we were lefanecha. We didn't totally, we were guilty. We knew that there's God. We couldn't control ourselves. So the fact that the chatanu was lefanecha, there could be another sin. We forgot about you. We did it with all the. But we did lefanecha, and ever since we knew you're still in the world, we couldn't stop. Should have stopped, but we couldn't stop. So therefore, the lefanecha should bring rachem aleinu on the lefanecha. Understand? It's not that we did a lefanecha brazen like that. Some people have a tava, you have a tava. Well, at the time of the tava, you become an atheist? Not so. The time of the tava, you believe in God. You guys, you didn't rip his seat off. He didn't, you know, Chas v'Shalom, he can't control himself. And then that lefanecha mitigates the sin. So therefore, rachem aleinu. The pasuk is Perek Lamed Het Pasuk Yud. Adonai Nigdecha Kol Ta'avati Ve'anhati Memecha Lo Nistar. Unbelievable pasuk. Zvina La'itim says. So that's a great musar. And all that you learn from Kana'an. The fact that Kana'an ran, although they ran with guilt, but Borei Olam says, I factor that in. Something is to their credit. And there's one more point that we have to make in this chapter over here. And what we're going to say now is Mepila'ot Temim De'im. Mepila'ot Temim De'im is Borei Olam runs the world, and Borei Olam is very patient. And what goes around comes around, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although we might forget certain things, he doesn't forget everything, and therefore he settles the score, and everything has to be, balanced eventually, and has to reach what's called midah keneged midah. It's the way it works. One of the strongest ways to see God is through the midah keneged midah. Midah keneged midah is a very, very powerful proof that there's a God in the world, because you see, what goes around comes around. Now, sometimes it takes 1,000 years for it to make the cycle, but if you're able to connect the dots, you're able to see goes around, comes around. So many, many thousands of years ago, Dinah, the daughter of Yaakov Avinu, goes out to the shuk. It was a parade. Goyim had a parade one day. They're playing their music, whatever they were doing. So she went out to see the circus, whatever it was, carnival. And before you know it, Shechem ben Hamor, Hamor ben Hamor, he came along and he takes Dinah and he does not nice things, inappropriate behavior. Yeah, well, animalistic. I don't want to get it. Inappropriate. He was inappropriate. So, Shimon and Levi hear about this. And they come along to the people and they say, oh, you want to intermarry with us and you want to have business? No problem. Why just circumcise yourself? And then we'll... And this is a ruse. They don't have any intention to marry them or anything. And all of a sudden, they trick the whole town. On the third day, where they're aching and they can't move because of the Brit Milah is the most painful day. And all of a sudden, Shimon and Levi come out and the trick's on you. They killed 24,000 of the whole city. And if Yaakov Avinu was angry, what'd you do over here? Where should I come in and ask?
How come you didn't ask? Yaakov Avinu's alive. Ask him what to do. They didn't ask. And they made, which the Pasuk says, an Orma. They made an Orma. They made what's called a trick. Was Isaac one? Isaac's part of the class. Bitzhak, everything okay? Oh boy, sorry to hear that. Your grandmother is yeah, mother's mother, okay. What of their name? Okay. That's the best time, Erev Shabbat. Forget the Levaya, you'll make a Shiva. 100%. It's a big Zechut. She has a Zechut. Okay, sweetheart. What of their name? Okay. Isaac Jamal's grandmother. So now the Botai, I don't know if he's calling it something. He was just saying, he knows we have a shiur. And he knows we have a shiur.
No, he said he's coming back.
Okay, another proof. So now it says like this. It says like this. They made an Orma on the whole city. Who were these people over here? These people of Gibeon. The Pasuk says they were from the Hivi. That's the descendants of the people of Shechem. It's the same nation. Borei Olam says, you tricked them. You fooled them. You disguised them. Hundreds of years later, the descendants of those people will come back, make a trick, and you'll commit the same sin. You won't ask. And when will you find it out? 3 days later, exactly when it happened. Borei Olam says, and that's probably also why they kept their word, because they knew that this was a tikkun. You understand? We said, oh, you're false pretense, you can get out of it, you can. But they knew that this was fixing an old story. So therefore they said, don't force it. The Hashem put us, obviously it's from God, this story. This is the way we all get. I mean, you're not talking about naive people. You're dealing with tzaddikim over here. It's hard to trick the tzaddikim. They all got tricked. Yeshua ben Rakhi, you pull the wool over the eyes of Shiva, even Yeshua ben Nun. He's a spy. You could trick the spy. Yeah, it was like they got blindsided. And it could be they understood that this was, to settle old business. So look how meduyak this is in the text. This is why I leave you this chapter. Because you look at the chapter, if you look at the text is something incredible. The Pasuk writes, huh? Yeah, that's the Chayvit. Over there, I think it's the Chayvit also over there. Yeah, Chayvit, the same exact, it's the same line, the same exact line. The Prophet says Chayvit, and it's Chayvit over there. It's same. He recalls the Chayvit for sure. Look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk writes, ויושבי גבעון שמעו את אשר עשה יהושע ליריחו ולעי ויעשו גם המה בעורמה. מה זה גם המה? Who else did בעורמה? The Pasuk just said, ויעשו בעורמה. גם המה. We missed the story here. Where? The Pasuk. What do you mean גם המה? Who's the גם over here? גם בשתייה מלכה. Who's the גם? Gam the rabot. So that she comes along and says, "V'yasu gam him be'orma, kemo she'asu b'nei Yaakov be'orma." Now he doesn't. He just tells you, "I'm telling you the item. This is the item. Kemo she'asu gam him be'orma, v'chamor avi shechem she'aya chivi, v'yoshve Gibeon mina chivi hayu." So that's it. Game over. So for me, you have to see
like you say many times, the wheels of justice.
They grind slowly but surely.
That's 100% emet. In this case, this is emet, that you know, over the course of time, we forgot about that story with Shimon and Levi and that whole story with the we forgot about it. We tricked them. Okay, it was next. We moved on. Borei Olam makes a note of it. You know, it's going to have to one day come back and bite you. And it did. And we pay for that. We pay for that. It's a wow. It's a klal. Midah kenigid midah. So it's sometimes you can draw the lines, but a lot of times we don't know why things happen. But you say maybe 200 years ago or 500 years ago, who knows what somebody else did? Yeah. And the God is finishing the circle. Now, we don't know. We don't have the advantage to see the present, past, and future in front of us at all times. But you know, if you have that advantage, then it's a. It's a great thing. So that's the Shi'ud in the Navi. Wow. Let's see who leaves. Wait till they leave and I'm going to say something for Hashem. I'm going anywhere. I'm here. I didn't move. Benny, that's it. We'll give Benny Africa. Benny ran out of here. He thought we're going to go to war with him. So now we'll say something on the parasha.
Rabbi's only here from 3:30. It's okay.
I will say something on the parasha, Rabotai. It is a double header, as you know. We'll just say one. We'll make one point, one quick point. So there's a famous Gemara that says Moshe Rabbeinu gets the commandment to build the Mishkan. He gets the commandment to build the Mishkan. And then he passes over that commandment to Bezalel. Bezalel makes a correction to Moshe and says, Moshe, you sure you heard it that way? And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, you're right. Look at that. Bezalel, you know better. You're in the shadow of God. Bezalel. He doesn't make it out. Could you correct me? You're Bezalel. What was the discrepancy that went on over here? There's two parts of the Mishkan. There's the Mishkan and there's the Kelim. The Mishkan is the structure, the Kelim is the furniture. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and he tells Bezalel, we have a commandment from God. Make the furniture and make the Mishkan. So Bezalel says, Hacham Moshe, he's 13 years old, he's a kid. He says, furniture and then the house? You're building a house. First you build the house, then you buy the furniture. Maybe it's the other way. First you got to build the house, then you get the furniture. When you go buy the couch, you leave the couch in the middle of the street, on the lot? Then what is that? Well, we're building a house over here. But I want to get all the furniture ready over here first. Furniture, it's going to rain, it's going to snow. What are you talking about? Fill the house and you get the furniture. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bezalel, you're right. You know something? You're Bezalel. You're unbelievable. Shadow of God you are. And we cannot learn this Gemara. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu was... First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be upended by Bezalel now. Moshe Rabbeinu was lying to Bezalel. He was telling him something that's not emet. It's such an easy mistake, and he gets corrected. You understand the problem here? So first of all, before we go further, Moshe Rabbeinu was right, by the way. Moshe Rabbeinu was right.
Because on the day that they inaugurated the Mishkan, the Kelim were there first. Because if you remember, when they built the Mishkan, it's true, they built the Mishkan and then the Kelim. But then they put it in storage. So it's not like they built the Mishkan and then they put the Kelim in the house. They built the Mishkan, they built the Kelim, put it in storage. So therefore, it's true that when they finally put it together, the Kelim were already there. The Kelim were there already before we built it. Before we built it, the Kelim were there. We took it apart for 7 days. We put it together, took it apart, put it together, took it apart. So on the day of the inauguration, there's nothing there. What do you have? The Kelim are there. The Kelim are there before the house is built. So Moshe Rabbeinu, technically, he wasn't making a mistake. They were talking at different stages. At the construction, you're right. The house comes before the Kelim. But in practice, the Kelim is going to be there before the structure. Understand what I just told you?
Yes.
So it means that everybody's looking at it from a different angle. So Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction needs to be analyzed. He tells them, unbelievable. But tell El. He should have told them, listen, you're right and I'm right. Elu ve'el devrim l'chaim. I'm talking about this, you're talking about that. Unless that's what he told them. Unless that's what he told them. What's the explanation? So there's a whole discussion over here on the importance of the support of Torah. The support of Torah is a very, very, very important item. And I mean support meaning monetary support of Torah. The Gemara places great value in the supporters of the Torah. As a matter of fact, the supporter is called Zebulun, and the one that gets support is called Yisachar. And most of the time in the Torah always will put Zebulun first. Smach Zebulun besetecha, v'yisachar bo'alecha. When they bring the korbanot, Zebulun comes first. They give kavod to Zebulun because they say, listen, without Zebulun, Yisachar can't do his holy work. Zebulun is not treated like a second-class citizen in the Torah. The businessman who supports Torah is treated on a very, very high madriga. Because we all understand, without Zebulun's support, Yisachar doesn't stand a chance. But when we look at who's greater, intrinsically, for sure Yisachar is greater than Zebulun. You know, the guy on Fifth Avenue selling ivory tusks, with all due respect, Elliot.
Mabisi.
Today it's Mabisi. It took you 25 years of selling them to realize that it's Mabisi. But okay, no problem. But the point is, he's great, the guy. The support of Torah is great. But So we'll say it like this. I hope I can explain this properly. In time, if we're looking at chronologically, you need a Zevulun before a Yisachar. Because if Zebulun doesn't pay, then the guy can't learn. So chronologically, Zebulun is great. But intrinsically, Yisachar is great. Both have an advantage. Understand what I just said? Can Yisachar start learning if he doesn't have breakfast? If Yisachar doesn't have a suit to wear, he doesn't have books, and he doesn't have a table, he doesn't have lights, can he learn? So chronologically, Zebulun has to step up to the plate first, say, Rabotai, I'm building the yeshiva, here's the table, here's the books, here's breakfast, here's your stipend. So chronologically, Zebulun is first. But intrinsically, now we're going to put them both on the scale. For sure, Yisachar is intrinsically greater. He's the one that's learning. That's why the Mishnah says, Im en kemach en Torah. Chronologically, kemach must come before Torah. But then intrinsically, im en Torah en kemach. So it's giving both sides of the story there. They got better support, which comes first. Kemach must come before Torah. But then it says, intrinsically, im en Torah en kemach. Of course, all the beracha comes from Yisachar. So the Mishnah is giving you the advantages of both. It's not just repeating it. It's taking two different statements here. The Hakamim tell us that each one of the Shevatim had a flag. They had flags. Each tribe was like a sovereign nation. So they had flags. And each Shevet had a color. There was a color in there. The flag had a color. So the Hakamim tell us that the color of the flag of Zivulun was a white flag. And Yisachar's flag was black. Polar opposites. And the Mefarshim explained the white represents the white cloth. And the black represents the words on the cloth, the ink. Zivulun is the cloth. You cannot write a Sefer Torah without cloth. The cloth comes first. Chronologically, the cloth comes first. But once you put the words on, intrinsically the words are more important than the cloth. So therefore, that's the relationship between Yisachar and Zebulun. It's the relationship between the cloth, which you need the cloth, obviously. The cloth is important. But you also need the letters. So it's the same Yesod. The most important furnishing in the Mishkan was what? The Aron. The Aron is the most important furnishing. Whereas when it comes to all the other pieces of furniture in the Mishkan, it says Va'asita, Va'asita, Va'asita. When it comes to the Aron, Va'asu. The Shulchan, that represents Parnasa. Not everybody is zocheh to that. The Menorah represents Chokhmah. Not everybody is zocheh to the depth of the Chokhmah of the Menorah. The Mizbeach, that represents Mesirut Nefesh. Not everybody is zocheh to Mesirut Nefesh. But when it comes to the Aron, nobody can say that they're not. V'asu, everybody has to be part of the Aron. A rich man, a poor man, handsome, everybody's Hayav. Nobody's exempt from learning. Therefore, V'asu Aron. The Aron is the main feature of the Mishkan. The Aron represents the furnishing, which is the Yisachar. But guess what? An Aron does not have a value unless you build a Mishkan around it. The Mishkan represents the Zivulun. That's the supporter. Can you put an Aron without a Mishkan? If I just put the Aron in the middle of the street, there's the Aron. That doesn't work. It has to be plugged in. Where do you plug in the Aron? In the Mishkan. Right or wrong? It's got to be placed. There's a Paroche. It's got to be placed. That's the Aron. That's the Mishkan. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and he says, build the Kelim and then build the Mishkan. What Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, the Yisachar is greater than the Zebulun. The Aron is greater than the Mishkan. And that's the truth. He's giving a Hashkafic idea when he says that. Of course the Aron intrinsically is greater than the structure. So Bezalel comes along and says, but wait, God must have told you that the structure has to come first. Because Imen Kemach and Torah, the structure in chronological sense is greater. Because B cannot happen unless A took place. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're right, because Shlomo said in Kohelet, Betzela Chochma, Betzela Kesef. Shlomo HaMelech says, there's Chochma and there's Kesef. Chokma is the scholar and Kesef is the supporter. And it says, in the same shadow that the Chokma is, that's where the Kesef is. Which means, in Olam Abba, they're both together. The Zivulun finds his seat with the scholar. Because he was with the scholar his whole life and he supported the scholar his whole life. So there's put that guy in the back. He was a businessman. Oh, bring him close. We see his Maaser account. We have it all documented. He gave to Tzedakot and Tamidah Kamim. So Bezalel was coming to defend the Zebulun. He said, it's true, Moshe. It's true. There's no question about it that the Aron is greater than the Mishkan. The Aron must come first because the Aron is the Yisachar. But
Hashem must have told you that in a certain sense the Mishkan has to come before the Aron. Amen. Kemar Torah. So what does he tell him? Betzalel, Betzel El. You are Betzel El. Betzel HaChokhmah, Betzel HaKesef. You're right. He was hinting to that. That pasuk in the Kohelet. Betzel El. You're right. You have that. The understanding of the Betzel, that it's true, they're both. So everybody was looking at the Yisachar Zvulun relationship from a different. Who's right? Moshe Rabbeinu was basically saying Imen Torah and Kemah. And what is Betzalel saying? Imen Kemah and Torah. And who's right? Elovel Betzel Ahumah Betzel Kesef. Why did each one choose that angle? Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Tamid Hakam, obviously. So he's looking at it from his standpoint, and Bezalel is the one that makes things happen. He's the builder of Torah. He's building the Mishkan. So he looks at it from his angle over here. Each one looks at it from their perspective, but it's not a mistake. No, nobody's wrong over here. And ultimately, both things happen. When they built the Mishkan, they built the Mishkan first, and then they built the Kelim. But when they put it together, the Kelim were already there. The Kelim were already there when they put it together. Because they took it apart 7 days. So everything works. Again, the Hadush over here reminds us of that integral. We once said a Hadush, just to add one more, you know, cherry on the cake, just to finish it up. So we once explained it, that the Mefarshim say that that's the same thing of a husband and a wife. The Pasuk says, Yaselo Ezet Kenegdo. So again, the wife in that sense is the Zevulun. She's the one that aids the husband in his accomplishments. The husband goes to the yeshiva, learns. Now he comes home from shul, there's a big 7-course breakfast on the table. Baruch Hashem, many of our members enjoy this type of relationship. They come home from shul in the morning after learning 2-3 hours. Their wives give them a whole spread. You have to feed the husband in order to learn, be able to learn more Torah. So, in that sense, every marriage is like that. So, it comes out according to this. If you look at the Targum. The Targum on the Pasuk, Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. Where is that Pasuk? What parasha? Noah, where is Eselo Ezer Kenegdo? No, you don't know, Elliot, where's it? Vayomer Hashem Elohim, lo tov yod adam lebdo, Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. So listen to the way the Targum says, Ezer Kenegdo. Ebed lo samech, Lekible. Samech is like a support. Lekible, to receive. Support to receive. Well, I guess if you're learning somebody's falling, so support to receive, to catch you. That's a very, you know, explicit way of saying it. I create you a helper. Sa'ad lekible. So the Ba'alei Musar say that the relationship between husband and wife, the husband represents the letter, the ot. And the lady, the kala, represents the klaf. The husband's purpose in the marriage is what? The learning, the spiritual. That's the letter of the Torah. But who gives the letter an ability to exist? You need the klaf. So that the Targum says, Se'ad lekable, Se'ad, to receive it. The clap is on the bottom. The clap is on the bottom, and the letter is on the top. So therefore, if the husband is an ot, write on your paper, ot. I have over a Gematria calculator now. I have an app now, Gematria calculator. So I'm going to do it on my Gematria calculator. It's an amazing thing, this thing. So you type in the word ot. Aleph Vav Taf. Aleph Vav Taf. Ot. And you type in the 407. And then you type in the word klaf. Kuf Lamed Peh. It comes out to the magic number.
617. Okay, which means nothing. Now you go back and you type in Ish. Ish is 311. And then you type in Isha and you get 617. Ish Isha is the exact gematria as Ot and Klaf. Now if that's the case, Rabotai, Zivulun, he was the white flag. And Yisachar was the black flag. That's why at every wedding the Hatan wears black and the Kala wears white. That's the sort of the color scheme. The Hatan is the Ot. The Ot is black ink. That's why he wears black tuxedo. The Kala is the Klaf. So she wears a white dress. That's the sword of the colors that take place under the... So now you have these modern people that come in a polka-dotted pink dress. Go, that's putting polka dots on the Sefer Torah now. Go see how far that's going to get you. So you see already that concept of Yisachar Zebulun, not only the man Yisachar, in a marriage it's the same principle. Yiratzon, we should be Zocher. The house is like a mikdash. It's the same principle. There's Aron and there's a Mishkan. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Amen.